Okay, let's get into Mitzvah Gimel. Mitzvah Gimel, again, tomorrow there will not be a shir. Fridays we'll play it by ear. We will try to get a shir up on Fridays. I'll try to do it 6 days a week, just tonight I cannot. So the next shir Beis Hashem will be on Sunday. Mitzvah Dalet, Kiddush HaChodesh, will be on Sunday. Okay, Mitzvah Gimel. Shalo Le'echol Gid Hanasheh. So we have our first Lo Sa'aseh. In the Torah, the Isra of Gid Hanasheh, the third and final mitzvah in Sefer Bereishis. Next one gets into Bo already. The Isra of Eating Gid Hanasheh. And this is, of course, in Parshas Vayishlach. Vayishlach Yaakov, Yishma Mitzvahs, Lo Sa'aseh Achas. V'yazharas Gid Hanasheh, the Isra of Eating the Sciatic Nerve. Shene'emar, Al-Kain, Lo Yochlu, B'nei Yisrael, Gid Hanasheh. As it says, after Yaakov Avinu fights with the Malach, that he became limp in his leg, his hip, his thigh, and therefore Bnei Yisrael don't eat the Gid Hanasheh. V'hai lo yochlu lo nomer al derech sipur. This lo yochlu is not just a story, as it appears from the psukim. Therefore, they didn't eat it. Klomar mipnei she'ira davar zeh, because of this thing ba'av in the father in Yaakov nimnoim abanim ilechal oso hagid, because of this action that happened to the father, they decided not to. Ella azharas Hashem yisbarach shelo yochluhu. It's not just a story, it's a command. It's God implicitly told them not to eat it. Right? This is an avera that many of us who are not involved in making our own meat, we don't have the opportunity to fulfill this mitzvah. So again, this is an opportunity to fulfill it in a certain sense to discussing some of the halachos and messages about it. So that's the source of Gid Hanasheh, the only source in the Torah where it talks about it, in Parshas Vayishlach. Misharshei Mitzvah Zu explains the Sefer HaChinuch, what is the shorish of this mitzvah? It's to remind us of something. What is the shorish? This is what many mefarshim on Chumash say. Kedei shetehei remez li Yisrael. It's to hint to the Jews. She'af al bi sheyizbalut tzaros rabos begolios miyad ha'amim u'miyad bnei Yisav. Even though we will have tremendous tzaros, and there will be thousands and thousands of years of golos, and we'll be in servitude. The four golios, the fourth one, we're still in. We had golos Bavel, and golos Paras, and golos Yavan, and we're still in Golas Romi, so we're still there. Still, she betuchim shelo yovedu. We have to realize we're only limping, but there will come a time when we will return shalem. Ela yilolam yamod zara mushmam viavolahem goel viyigalem yatzar. We will remember our goel will come and redeem them. Ubizachram tamid in yanzai the amitzvah shatiel zikaron. And by remembering this, yamdu beemunasam uvitzirkasam loolam. In all the difficult times we have throughout our generations, while the sarah shal Esav and all of our enemies fight with us. Right, but we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maslinu Miyadam. That's the message of Gid Hanasheh. Yet we don't eat it to remember that Yaakov Avinu fought, but he overcame. What does it say afterwards? Vayavu Yaakov Shalem Yir Shechem. Yaakov comes complete, as the Rashi quotes, Shalem Begufo, Shalem Bemamon, Shalem Betaraso. V'remez Zehu, Lefi She'osu Mal Shenilchem Yaakov Avinu, Sheba B'Kabbalah Shusaro Shal Esav, Ratza La'akro, he wanted to uproot Yaakov Min Ha'olam, Hu V'zaro V'lo Yecholo, and he couldn't do it. So he pained him. We have a lot of pain. V'tziero b'degiyas ha'yarech. V'chein zera Esav mitzaer lezera Yaakov. And so to his seed, k'moshe matzinu ba'av, shezarcho lo ha'shemesh l'refuaso, just like he got better, so too, k'en yizrach lanu ha'shemesh shal Mashiach. Gid Hanasheh is about emuna, about remembering that we will be'ezrat Hashem, be redeemed soon, v'yirpa'enu mitzarenu v'yigalenu. The Ramban on the Pasuk says the same thing. The Ramban there in Parshas Vayishlach says, V'ha'inyan ki ha'ma'ora kulo remez l'darosav she'yidor bizarro shel Yaakov yitgaber Esav aleihem ad yikarov l'kakeya beitzason. He almost won the fight. Yad Yaakov pinned. V'ha'yazed dor echad v'meichach mi'amishnah. There are so many doors in the times of in the Mishnah, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, after the times of the Beis HaMikdash, where avador shel shmad. Many times we have doors that were just crusaded. Eini yachol lispo. Umaha yu osib bedor shal shmad. What did they do? Terrible tragedies, the Rabban writes. Va'akol savalnu va'avar aleinu. Kamosha ramaz va'yavu Yaakov shalem. But we got through all those. And the Jewish people are still around. So you don't even have to look to the future. Gid Hanasheh is alive. Chai v'kayim. Rav Moshe points out in the Drash Moshe in Parshas Vayishlach that this is one of the only times that we are told to remember something by not doing something. Usually we remember something by doing something. We make Kiddush, Zecher L'Maisa Bereishis. We do this, Zecher, Zecher, Zecher. I guess Shabbos is one of them. We don't do work as a reminder that Hashem rested. But Rav Moshe says that this is one of the only times that to get Anasha who b'sheva al ta'ase, hipach mikol anisim sha'zecher hu b'masa. Usual miracles we remember by sitting in the sukkah. By Lechem Mishnah, we remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a double portion on Friday. So many of this, most of the zechronos that we do in life are action. This is only one of the only ones that is sheva al tase. That is, you don't do something. What is the message, says Rav Moshe? Maybe it's to symbolize that we'd rather not have to remember. We'd rather not be in the gullus. We'd rather it be over already. By the other ones, the nace could be forever. We remember Hashem did wonderful things for us. But says Rav Moshe, Yoser hayinu rotzim shelo yizdamin lanu nisyonos. Right? As we say in Berachas HaShachar, Shlo lavu delidei nisayon, v'lachein havei hazecher al neizeh be'isser v'lo b'maisa, l'horosh sha'af she'inyin gadol ma'od, who? Ein anu rotzim bazeh. We'd rather not have them, as the Gemara says at the beginning of Berachas, lo hein v'lo scharan. Okay, that's a little bit about the hashkafa behind the mitzvah, about Mashiach, about Geula, v'chulu. We continue. Dinei ha-mitzvah, the various halachas of the mitzvah of Gid HaNasheh, mahu ha-gid ha-asur, what is the gid, which part of the nerve, va-chitut, sh'anu chayavin l'chateit acharav, and the obligation of chitut to root it out. We have to root out in all the factories where they do the shechting. They have to root it. It's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah preventing anyone from eating Gidon Asher. Ube'eza behema noheg, and which animals, which we'll talk a little bit about that. Umi ne'emon al nikuro. Nikur is the process, the Talmudic word used for the process for rooting out the Gidon Asher. So that it's very complicated. Exactly what areas on in the animal next to the Gidon Asher are connected, are considered part of the gid. What about the part where the nerve is lays on other parts of the animal? So it's not clear. The Rama writes Beferish in Yaradeya, in Simin, Samach Dalet, Siv Zayin, it is impossible to learn Nikur from the Gemara. You have to have a Rebbe. You have to actually watch. You have to have apprenticeship. You can't learn Nikur. A lot of other halachas you can learn from a Sefer. But you can't learn Nikur, says the Rama in Samach Dal Zayin and Yaradeya, that you have to learn it from a Baki. The Yeser Pratea, that is all the halachas of Gid HaNasheh are learned in the seventh parak of Chulin, which the name of it is Gid HaNasheh. Very structured. Finally finishing up, the Noheges Mitzvah Zu B'chol Makom V'chol Zman, this mitzvah is Noheg, always, this is not a mitzvah that's connected to Eretz Yisrael. It's not a mitzvah that's connected dafka bizman hakadum. It's a mitzvah today, bizachar and akevis, men and women. Obviously, women are obligated in almost every lo sase. There's one or two that they're not. But even time-bound averos, women are obligated in. They're only pater for mitzvah sase shazman grama. Lo sases are chayavos in all of them except for one or two, as we will see, Bez Hashem, when we get up to them. If somebody violates and eats one gid, afilu hu pachos mi kezayis. Here's the chiddush. Even if it's less than a kezayis. Usually we have the rule. Shi'urim, we learned, halacha Moshe b'Sinai, that isur macholos asuros, this is the first one in the Torah, kezayis is the shi'ur. Comes along the chinuch and says, well, we paskin, based on a mission in Chulin, even if it's less than a kezayis. O sha'achal kezayis be gidon asher gadol, or you eat a kezayis from a larger gidon asher, loki you get malchus. How is it possible that one gets malchus, one violates the malchus reflects the isur daraisa? Why is it? How is it possible to violate an isur daraisa by eating less than a kezayis? So this is the sugya known as birya. Birya. It's the Mishnah. It comes up in Maseches Makis, but it also comes up in the Mishnah in Maseches Chul and on the Psadik Vav, where the Mishnah says this. The Mishnah quotes, Ha'ochel migid anasha kezayis sofek harba'im. Achalo ve'ein bo kezayis chayiv. Even if it's less than a kezayis, the Mishnah Tzadik Vavim and Aleph in Maseches Chulin. So how is it? The Gemara asks, how is it possible? Even less than a kezayis. Omar, he says, Kitanoi, achalo ve'ein bo kezayis chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Achi'i bo kezayis. My time is the Rabbanan. We pass on like the Rabbanan. How is it possible if I eat an entire Gid HaNasheh, even if it's smaller than a kezayis, I'm going to be chayiv daraisa? Says the Gemara, biryahi. It is a birya. It is an entire unit. It is an entire creature. Birya. What exactly does birya mean? So, just in short, it means an entire item. An entire item is subject to different rules than other shiurim. entire insect, an entire item. It's usur, Tosfos says, because the Torah said there's usur to eat this item. So the Torah is not machalik between how big it is and how small it is. So the Torah said there's usur, bein gadol, bein katan. That is the concept of birya. Rishonim there in Chulin Tzadik Vav have different definitions, different ingredients into the definition of birya. What does one need to be called a complete unit? Some of them all Rishonim have. Davar shalem, all Rishonim have. It has to be a whole unit. Number one, if an ant falls into my soup, If an entire bug fall into my soup, and then it gets mixed into my soup, and I lost it, got to throw out the soup. Why? An ant is smaller than a kezias. The Shulchan Aruch says that Simin Kuf in Yaradeya is Hilchas Birya. The Shulchan Aruch says, Kedera Shel Marak, Shenafal Shem Birya Benevda, Aser Hakol. All right, we'll get to that halacha in a second. But an entire Birya. So, it's shalem, number one. Number two ingredient, some say it's usur migufo. It has to be inherently usur, from birth. So, for example, a shor haniskal, the Rishonim say, an ox that became usur because it killed somebody is not called a birya. It has to be inherently usur, has to be born usur. Number three, some Rishonim say it has to be alive, biryas neshama. What about an entire... I'll give you the example that Tosfos gives. We're machmir against this. What does that mean? Tosfos in Brachas on Daf Lamed Tes says he has a suffix whether the concept of birya not only applies to isurim but also applies to hilchas brachos. What does Tosfos bring up? Tosfos in Brachas Lamed Tes on Aleph. What if I eat one grape? If I eat one grape, do I have to say an al ha'etz v'al pri ha'etz after eating that grape? That's Tosfos' suffix right here in Brachas Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. Tosfos is not sure about it. Halacha l'maisa, can't find the line right now. We won't read it. Halacha l'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch advises never to eat one grape. Shulchan Aruch simin reish yud and arachayim. The yesh mistafkim loma. There are those who suggest. Who's he quoting? Tosfos. Shal davar shehu kibir yaso. If there's something that is whole. A birya, kagon gargir shel einav, one grape, o shel rimon, or one whole seed from a pomegranate. Some pomegranate is full of those pieces. Take one whole piece of a pomegranate, both of those, you have to say an Allah Eitzan, right? Two of the Shivat Aminim, shemivarchin la'acharav alfa bishem bo kezayis. And you make the bracha afterwards even without a kezayis. What do you mean? You need a kezayis to make a bracha achrona? No. Because it's a suffix, says the Shulchan Aruch, Nachon li zoher shelo lechol birya fakos mikazayis. We should never have one grape. We should either have zero grapes or have a couple of grapes to make sure that I have the size of a kazayis. And there are as velo mikri birya elem achalo kamoshehu aval muachak garin mi elo mikri birya. If you take out the seed inside of it, it's not called the birya. Rav Nevin Zal in his Mishnah Berurah on the bottom has a suffix about a raisin. What about a raisin? One raisin, is that called the birya? It's as it was, but it was just dried out. So he says on the bottom, Tzorach Edim Tzimuk Mikri Kibir Yaso. Unclear. But either way, that's an extension of what's clear. The Isser Daraisa of eating a birya, that's clear. The question is, do you extend it to the concept of Hilchos Brachas? That's the issue of Tosfos in Brachas and the Shulchan Aruch in Simin Reish Yud. So birya comes up in Hilchos Brachas. It also comes up in what I mentioned before, Shulchan Aruch about Bittul. Midarabbanan. Midaraisa, you can't eat a birya. Midarabbanan, birya is not batel. And therefore, if a birya falls into my food and I don't get it out, so that food is, there's no bittel and the whole thing has to be thrown out. That's the discussion in Simin Kuf in Yaradeya. That's discussions of birya. Good. Now let's go back to talk about some other discussions. One of the more well-known discussions or important discussions in Gidan Asha. If you look back in Oz Beis in the Minchas Chinuch, Ben Chazadok points out that there is a machlokas tanoim, the gid hanasha of a non-kosher animal. Does the gid hanasha of a non-kosher animal, how many averis do I get if I eat the gid hanasha of a non-kosher animal? I get the aver of non-kosher. But is that also asa mishub gid hanasha? That's a machlokas tanoim. We paskin, it only applies to kosher animals. If I eat the gid hanasha of a non-kosher animal, so then I only get the aver of not eating kosher. I don't get the added avera of gid hanasha. That is what we paskin. But it's a machlokes. And the machlokes is a fascinating one in Chulin Daf Kuf. Chulin Kuf from a base. Says the Mishnah. Noig b'tahor v'ino noig b'tameya. The Tanakhama says it only applies to kosher animals. Rabbi Yehuda omer af b'tameya. Even by non-kosher animals. Om Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda brings a raya from the Torah. that it should apply to non-kosher animals. Why? Where did it become usher? V'halomi b'nei Yaakov nasar gid anasha v'yadayin behemat tmei muteres lehem. B'nei Yaakov, it's usher for them to eat gid anasha, and they didn't have kilchas kashrus. They ate shreif animals, and yet they didn't eat gid anasha. Haraya, says Rabbi Yehuda, that the isra of gid anasha should apply to even non-kosher animals. Amru lo, the Chachamim say back to him, to Rabbi Yehuda, a very enigmatic line and a very important line. No, don't bring me rayas from Yaakov Avinu. Why? B'sinai ne'emar el shenechtav bimkomo. The Isser was said at Har Sinai, but was written in its place. What does that mean? So there's a major machlokas here between Rashi and the Rambam. Rashi on the Mishnah says something amazing. Rashi says, the brothers ate Gid Hanasha. They ate Gid Hanasha. Moshe, what does the pasuk mean? B'sinai ne'emar el shenechtav bimkomo? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was given the Torah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu then put this pasuk in to the story in Vayishlach, because that's where the source of this halacha is. But they didn't do it. They didn't do it. It was as if a narrator, the divine narrator, stuck the pasuk in afterwards. And it even sounds that way from the psukim. If you read the psukim in Vayishlach, the whole story takes place, and then you have this pasuk, Al kein lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael es gid hanasha. Lo yochlu. Some afarshim say, b'nei Yisrael? They weren't called b'nei Yisrael, they were b'nei Yaakov. Okay, his name was changed. But maybe that's a hint to Rashita's Rashi. So it's amazing, Rashi says, the brothers did eat gid hanasha. So it's a machlokes tanoim about history, according to Rashi. Did the brothers eat gid hanasha or not? The Rambam cannot accept that. The Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis right here in Chulin Daf Kuf is one of the most basic Pirush HaMishnayis Rambams, I would say, in all of Pirush HaMishnayis. The Rambam says, and he starts off by saying, Sim, let me find the Lashon, says the Rambam in V'sim Libcha al Ha'ikar HaGadol. Listen up to the important thing this Mishnah tells us. The Rambam hardly ever says that. If the Rambam says, listen to this Ikar Gadol, we have to open our ears. Says the Rambam, what does it mean? The Rambam here, I've spoken about this in various shiurim, we could learn the history of mitzvos from before Har Sinai. But the reason that mitzvos are obligatory upon us is because Moshe Rabbeinu told us. We do Mila not because of Avram Avinu. We do Bris Mila because Moshe Rabbeinu told us. We do Gid Hanasha not because the brothers. The brothers didn't eat Gid Hanasha, but that has nothing to do with why we don't eat Gid Hanasha. We don't eat Gid Hanasha because Moshe Rabbeinu told us. After all, what was the chazal we started off with in the introductory shiur? Taryag mitzvos nemar lo Moshe Misinai. Moshe got 613. It wasn't like a few holdovers from before and we were mashlim. No. Moshe Rabbeinu repeated every single mitzvah that historically might have been in existence beforehand, but the reason that Klal Yisrael has to do it is because Moshe Rabbeinu told us. So what are the Chachamim saying back? They're not saying the brothers ate Gid Hanasha. They're saying the brothers B'sinai Namar. B'sinai Namar. Really, the reason we have to do it is Har Sinai. El Shenachta Bimkomo was written in the Torah earlier, but really that has nothing to do with our obligation. There are many examples of this, of the chilek between the history of mitzvos and the reason that we have to do mitzvos. The first Rambam, maybe L'shitaso, he uses this at the beginning of Hilchas Avelos. In Hilchas Avel, Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam holds, three-way Machlokas Rishonim, but the Rambam holds that Avelos de'oraisa is only one day. The first day of Avelos is Darabanan. We said Shiva. The last 6 days are Darabanan. Only the first day, says the Rambam, is Daraisa, and it's only if it's Yom HaMisa and Yom HaKvura. If the death happens the day before the Kvura, it's all Darabanan. But at most, it's Daraisa one day. Ask the Rambam on himself. How could that be? The brothers sat Shiva for Yaakov Avinu. It says in Parshas Vayechi, they sat Shivas Yomim. What am I talking about that it's only Darabanan? Says the Rambam, Nitna Torah v'nitzchatsha halacha. Borrowing a term from the Gemara, don't bring me rayas from before Har Sinai. That's the history of a mitzvah. But that's not the reason that it's obligatory upon us. There are many other rayas to this, but we don't have time for them right now. Okay, there are others. I have a shiur online about the Avos keeping the Torah before Har Sinai, so there I go through more of the inyanim. Anyway, back to Gid Hanasha a little bit. The Minchas Chinuch as well in Oz Gimel discusses a concept that is quoted in Shas, and that is the concept called Harbe Poskim Sovrim Ein Begidin Benosein Tam. The Gid Hanasha is usher, even though it doesn't taste good. even though it doesn't have a positive taste, usually if something doesn't have a positive taste, what's called nosein tam lefgam, it's not aser. And it can't aser. But gid hanasha is an exception to the rule. Ein begidin benosein tam. It does not give off a positive taste. Ask Rav Asher Weiss, Parshas Vayishlach. So how could it be aser? How could it be aser? Im keino, ochel gid hanasha, am I lucky? We pass in ein begidin benosein tam, and af b'fnei atzmo ein bo tam. It doesn't have a taste. Ula says in Chulin Daf Tzadik Beis, eitu v'atorah chiva alav. What's the chiddush? How do we understand the chiddush of the Torah that there's no taste to this item? It's like a piece of wood, but it's still usher for us to eat it. What does that mean? So Rav Asher Weiss here in Siman Mem Zayin in Bereishis quotes the Chazon Ish, who suggests that maybe it's only usher if I would eat it in a way that makes it tasty. I put in a lot of spices and sugar and honey, and then I eat the Gid Hanasha. That's when I get Malkus. That's the Chazon Ish's suggestion. And they asked Rav Asher Weiss, I don't understand that. The Gemara calls it an eitz. The Gemara calls it, it's a tree. It's like a tree and you're still chayiv. So Rav Asher Weiss says, no, we have to understand the words of the Chazon Ish. And this is a secret to understanding all halachos of ma'achalas asuros. So just Rav Asher Weiss, there are two elements when we say we have to have hana'as achila. There's something describing the gavra and something describing the chefza. Number one, the gavra. Hainu she'enu chayeva she'yochlenu k'derech ha'ochlen. I have to eat something in the normal way. If I eat it in an abnormal way, I'm putter. Number two, the item has to be ro'i la'achila. If it's not ro'i la'achila inherently, that's a different type of psul. Suggests Rav Asher Weiss, what's the chiddush of the Torah of Ein Begidim and Osein Tam? And it's Eitz Ba'alma. That's only regarding the chefza. It itself is not fit. It's like a piece of wood. But the Chazon Ish understands that still to violate the Isser and get Malkus, you have to eat it in a way that you get some pleasure, that you get some hana. But by every one of Machalos Asuros, we have to ask this question. Is the item fit? Am I eating it in a normal way? We ask that by Yom Kippur. We ask that by Chametz. We ask that by various different items. But that's a Minchas Asher right here in Sirim Mem Zayin in Vayishlach. Two more points, and that is, number one, unknown halacha, but the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Maisa Karbanos, that before, in Perek Vav Halacha Dalid, that Gid Hanasha by a Karban. The Rambam quotes, based on a Gemara, that before we're makriv a Karban Ola, we remove the Gid Hanasha. We're usually under the impression that we burn the whole Karban Ola. That's the whole definition. The whole thing is burned Agave HaMizbeach. Says the Rambam, not the Gid Hanasha. Vizore kol ha'evarim ala H. I'm sorry, before that, umeser Gid Hanasha barosha Mizbeach. You bring up the whole animal to the top of the Mizbeach. You umashlicho. And you take out the Gid Hanasha. You throw it onto the deshen in the middle of the Mizbeach. And the rest of the evarim you burn. So the only thing that does not burn the Karban Ola is the skin and the Gid Hanasha. So not only is it also to eat, but it's also to burn it as a Karban Ola. The Minchas, just to point out a makar here, which we'll come back to, I guess, at a future date, the Minchas Chinuch here in Os Ches talks about the concept of Kedei Achilas Pras, which is also an important concept in terms of mitzvos and isurim. To fulfill a mitzvah or to violate an avera that has to do with eating, I have to eat it in a certain time period, called Kedei Achilas Pras, somewhere between 3 and 9 minutes, depending where you what you hold up. That has to do with eating matzah and eating challah even every Friday night, but also has to do with isurim. So the Minchas Chinuch here refers to what he says in Mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel, where he talks about the concept of Kedei Achilas Pras being an objective shear, not going by each and every person and each and every food. I eat quickly, I eat slower. Some foods you eat fast, some foods you eat slow. So that is an important Minchas Chinuch. You can look at it in a mitzvah Shin Yud Gimel. It's by the mitzvah of the fasting on Yom Kippur. But that is also related to Kedei Achilas Pras. Okay, we'll stop here. Get our feet wet, Baruch Hashem, in Gid Hanasha. And Bez Hashem, on Sunday, we will get to Mitzvah Dalid, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh.